Self-Evident is a podcast that is dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love. Hail and well met. My name is Kenna, and with me today is
Jenna.
And I'm sure you might hear some birds in the background or some cars, and that is because we have a bit of an unconventional setup for our recording. We are quite literally sitting on a bench in a park across from a river because we wanted to get this episode recorded and out.
And this was the perfect halfway meeting point between our work locations. And hopefully it's going to be a blessing despite the delightful chirping you're hearing in the background and the automobiles that refuse to stop going by.
Right. I mean, you think that they would see we've got an important piece of media being produced here and they would just stop. But, you know, life goes on.
Does seem that way. What are we talking about, Kenna?
So today we are going to talk about protests. There's been a lot of protests that have gone on recently in Los Angeles, as well as the nationwide No Kings protest that happened last Saturday. And we thought it would be an interesting idea, just a good idea to talk about, okay, well, first off, what has been going on and what has been happening? Because you're hearing a ton of stuff from different news sources, and we thought we would just give you a bit of, okay, what actually happened.
Yeah, a good summary of it.
Mm-hmm. And then we also thought it'd be a good idea to talk on, does the Bible say anything about protests? And as Christians, are we supposed to look at this in any specific way? So I know Saturday there were No Kings protests, and they were nationwide?
Yes, they were. On June 14th, a group called No Kings decided to launch a nationwide effort, and they've been planning this event for literal months at this point, and it coincided with Flag Day and also the Army's 250th birthday, as well as Trump's 79th birthday. I think that's how old he was turning. Please do not quote me. I might be wrong on that. So the reason No Kings have been protesting are for the following reasons. Number one, Americans have been deported and people have disappeared. Second claim is that U.S. courts have been defied or defiled. Another claim is that civil rights are under attack, meaning, well, we can't have freedom of speech, etc. Another reason is that government services have been slashed, like Medicare, welfare. The final reason, and the most obvious reason, is that Trump is acting like a king. I've been listening to a lot of commentators about why the messaging of No Kings, and they are saying it is actually really, really not for the Democratic Party. It's giving 1776. It's right. Giving Boston Tea Party. But what they're saying is, no, we've got to resist Trump because he is just a horrible human being. There's not really many reasons that they have given outside of these claims that they have been purporting, all of which are skewed, misunderstood, or just blatantly false on their heads. Mm-hmm. For example, that American people have disappeared. My friend Anthony Leal on the 138th episode of Self-Evident was talking about, as a Mexican American, he was raised with the understanding that if you have brown skin, you could be deported at any time.
That's
in America.
Wild.
No matter if you're here legally or not. So a lot of people who have been to these protests, that's what they believe. And like what you pointed out, Kenna, that's what the mainstream narrative has been pushed for decades at this point. So everyone believes it. That's kind of why No Kings was protesting. And so on Saturday, multiple protests took over throughout the entire nation. And there was a lot of violence that happened, unfortunately. For example, in Salt Lake City, Utah, a man believed to be a part of a, quote, peacekeeping team for the protest shot at a person who was brandishing a rifle at demonstrators. The shooting injured both the rifleman and a bystander, with the bystander later dying at the hospital. So the police arrest the alleged rifleman.
Did he think the guy with the rifle was trying to attack the crowd? Or
that's what it sounds like.
I feel like because of the way the riots in LA have turned out, anytime there's a mass protest like this, people are just so much more on edge or tense.
Well, I think it's been that way ever since 2020 because of what the Black Lives Matter movement pushed throughout that entire summer of there was just violence and looting and fire everywhere. Mm-hmm. They just wanted that comeback once again because, well, Trump's in office again. So we got to cause a lot of civil unrest and make his administration as difficult as possible.
Then as Christians, because this atmosphere around protest is so tense, how should we look at protests as believers? Does the Bible say anything about protests? And I think it's important to point out that on its surface, no, the Bible doesn't say anything about protesting specifically. But it does contain guidelines and things that we as believers can use to evaluate whether or not we should be attending a protest or whether or not a protest is even worth attending. It's also important to point out that there's a difference between a riot and a protest.
Oh, 100%. Can you give us the difference?
Sure. So a riot is emotionally driven by anger, got questions, which is a biblical hermeneutic site, would you say?
Basically,
exegesis. Yeah. It sounds like one of those, I don't know, like goofy or cheap websites you'd go to.
Yeah, but it actually is so biblically sound and mm-hmm. has great doctrine. I did the exact same research with that website too, because it has so much great information.
They're really good. But Got Questions points out that most riots begin with an instigator or someone with an agenda. They're usually spontaneous outbursts of unified outrage. And so it has a lot to do.
They look like spontaneous, mm-hmm. but actually they've been planned for a long time. Like, for example, what's happening with all of the LA riots, there are people that are showing up being like, okay, yep, I've got a whole pallet of bricks here. Just show up over on this corner. I've got 500 masks. Come, I'm distributing them over here. There's a lot of organization that comes to cause that civil unrest. And actually, on Saturday, there have been videos of rioters going around and setting people's things on fire, like garbage cans, cars, etc. But then protesters coming to put it out, because that's not what they came to this rally for. Well,
that's the other thing with riots, is it's often very emotionally driven, an unhealthy emotion. I think protests can be driven by a sense of justice.
Yeah.
As in, I see this is wrong.
Yeah.
And I want this to change. Whereas riots are more, I think, just
unruly mob. It's an unruly mob.
An unruly mob.
Right. Because what lawful protests are, it's you state your grievance, you show up to demonstrate your grievance, and then you do so it peacefully. The etymology of the word peace, by the way, literally means freedom from civil disorder. And what is a riot? Civil disorder.
The other important thing to note about protests too is a protest isn't always just a gathering of people. It can be any sort of declaration of disagreement or dissent, such as refusing to shop somewhere.
Right.
Or writing a letter saying you disagree.
It's a public disagreement.
Mm-hmm. There are a lot of scripture verses that talk about discernment, such as Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Or 1 Thessalonians 5:20, test or 21, but test everything. That's the important point, is I think it's important to say, okay, a protest isn't necessarily bad for Christians to take part in, but what is the protest about?
100% agreed. And you also got to realize, and this is something that, so it's human nature. When you see the general public going in or for or against something, it's very easy to get swept up into those few talking points. Mobthink mm-hmm. is a very, very powerful weapon. So protests, while they can be good, think of the Boston Tea Party, think of the civil rights movement, think of even the March for Life that happens mm-hmm. every
Those
single
are all
year.
Those versions
are good,
of protests.
Peaceful protests that are stating their grievance, doing so peacefully, and ensuring that they're inside of the law while they're doing it. Protests also can be destructive and dangerous, as we've been seeing over the past few weeks this summer with the LA riots and now with the No Kings riots, because I didn't even finish saying all of the different violent circumstances that happen all over the country, because these protests were happening all over the country. For example,
did a lot of them turn violent?
A lot of them turned violent. For example, in Riverside, California, I mentioned Salt Lake City earlier, but now Riverside, California, a driver of an SUV struck a woman participating in a demonstration and then fled the scene. In Culpeper, Virginia, a man was arrested after allegedly driving his vehicle into a dispersing crowd, striking one person. In Portland, Oregon, police deployed tear gas and flash grenades after demonstrators breached an immigration and customs enforcement facility.
Oh, wow.
4 police officers were reported injured.
Ooh.
And I'll put all of these reports in the link in our description. And there were a bunch of other different protests and violent outbreaks throughout the entire thing. Look at LA. LA is it's happening all the time, 24/7 there right now. When you think of destructive and dangerous protests, they're normally purporting something that is against how God designed the world. So think of how the Black Lives Matter movement or pride parades or the riots in LA, all of them are saying, whether participants believe it or not, their main imagery and their main optic is that certain humans are better than other humans, and they should not be subject to any moral or legal law. Mm-hmm. That is all that they're saying. Whereas compare that with a protest like, for example, for the March for Life, where we're saying babies inside of the womb have just as much value and significance.
Right to life as others. Mm-hmm. So that's a good point then, is, you know, follow or look at the language. What are they talking about?
Well,
are they
and even do they even know what they're protesting about? So many people that were interviewed at these No Kings rallies, they had no clue why they were there. They just said something bad about Trump. Oh, Trump is a tyrant. I'm That's why I'm here. Okay, can you give me an example of how he has been a tyrant? They could not. Representative Eric Swalwell was also at one of these No Kings protests, and he was talking to the crowd, basically saying, you know, we need to put down the tyrant. So when a president becomes a tyrant, we need to rise up against him. We need to convict him. We need to impeach him, and we need to start over again. He never once cited why exactly Trump was a tyrant. None of them really knew why they were there outside of, I just hate Trump.
That's a good point, too, because as believers, we know God is a God of order, not a God of chaos. So if we don't know what the reason the protest is, there's a good chance it's not going to remain a peaceful protest, because when a lot of people gather in one place to yell and be angry about something without a firm idea of what it is, that can very quickly turn violent.
Yes, and so true.
Because an obvious we have a sin nature, and you know, we all amplify it in each other.
100%. An obvious example of this, and this is also, I didn't think of it this way until I was reading the Got Questions article, but a protest gone wrong would be the mob in Pilate's court when the Pharisees were stirring them up to say, crucify Christ. But later, when Christ was crucified, there were some centurions that were even saying, that were reported in scripture saying, surely this was a righteous man that we just put to death.
Right.
They followed along with the mob think until it was too late.
Mm-hmm. So be discerning. Look at the language. What are they protesting? Does it fit with God, who is a God of love and a God of justice and a God of mercy and truth? Does it fit with what he would desire, which we can find out in his word?
Absolutely.
And then who is funding it? Ooh. That's the other thing, is pay attention to the money, pay attention to who is supporting the protest. I know, again, to use No Kings as an example, if you go to their partners, you find a bunch of pride organizations, mm-hmm. you find Planned Parenthood.
Of course.
We will say, we know Trump is not the perfect president, and he definitely does things we disagree with, and we talk about them when he does things he disagrees with. But he isn't, I think it's just a major falsehood to claim that he's a king right now, because he does not have the power of a king. He's following laws.
And one of the most obvious reasons why he's not a king? Because the No Kings protests actually took place and none of them were arrested for treason.
That's a good point.
If you are in a country that has a king and you are protesting the king and saying, we don't have a king, we need to overthrow him, you're going to be arrested for going against that country's laws.
That's true. And that just goes to show that maybe the real reason behind these protests doesn't have to do as much with the fear of a king as much as it has to do with dislike over some of the laws and other things that Trump has been doing since he is in office.
But going back to what you were saying about making sure that you know who's funding it, number one. Number two, you're not just following a groupthink. Another thing that really, really struck home with me was when I was having this conversation with Anthony about what was happening in LA. And this was right after I'm going to talk right over this, but there is a train in the background and I know that's going to be super annoying. Let's see what I can do in post-production to kind of lower that sound right now.
I believe in your abilities.
Anywho, I put together a reel for Self-Evident and for Illinois Family Institute talking about the LA riots and about the people that they're protesting ICE arresting. And among these people were child rapists. They were sex traffickers. They were murderers. I was so frustrated and I was so upset. But talking...
There's the train. I believe in you. When you get to this part in editing, Jenna, just know you are doing great. You are loved, God loves you, and you do a great job editing.
This is so annoying.
That's so funny.
So Anthony responded to my reel, and he said, I totally get where you're coming from, and this anger is needed. But he reminded me that, you know, in the Bible, in Psalm 4, it says that we should be angry, but not sin. And when Paul is instructing the Ephesians about Christian living in Ephesians 4, he quotes Psalm 4. Ephesians 4, 25 through 26 says to lay aside falsehood, to speak truth to your neighbor, to be angry and to not sin. Mm. So I think as Christians, we are actually called within our First Amendment rights to protest things that are actually against what violates our right. Free speech or violates our rights here in the U.S.
God speaks about one of the major things he wants Israel to do, or he talks about, I think in Hosea, is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly before your God. And as Christians, we do understand God has an ordering of right and wrong, and we can protest or desire to fix things when we see an injustice in the world.
Right. In Proverbs 24:21, it says that, this is Solomon talking to his son, and he says to fear the Lord and the king and do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will be coming from both. That is a direct prohibition from people who are completely rioting and doing lawless deeds against the Lord and his anointed. God says that he selects the leaders, and he is the one who puts them in positions of authority, and the heart of the king is like a stream in God's hands. He will point his heart whatever direction he wants him to go.
So how would that work then with something like the Boston Tea Party? Is it because they were protesting, I guess, the tax less more than the king, or is there a difference?
They were protesting the violation of their dignity of as humans, because King George thought that he could basically treat them kind of like subservients instead of like full English citizens that they were. There's a fantastic movie about this called 1776, and Ben Franklin, it has this fantastic quote where one of the other lawmakers turns to him and says, "Oh, come, sir, it's not an insult to be called an Englishman. I know the English don't mind." And Ben Franklin says, "Oh, I wouldn't mind being called an Englishman if I were given the full rights and responsibilities and treated like a full English citizen." But calling someone an English citizen without the full rights.
Okay. That does make sense.
So when you're being treated as less than human, that is not violating or rebelling against the king. That is stating your grievance.
That makes sense. And that brings up another point, and I want to add that the Bible verse I quoted earlier is actually from Micah 6:8-12. It's, "He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God." I think it's really important to remember, as we're evaluating protests and as we're figuring out whether it's right or wrong for us to join them, and some of it I think is a conscience issue based on, you know, your heart and what you have discerned from reading the scriptures.
Yes, that's
but
very important to
self-control
point out.
Is highlighted frequently in the scriptures. Proverbs says, "A man without self-control is like a city that has been broken into and left without walls." And so if we're coming to the protest, I think, in full blown out anger, just completely driven by emotion, that won't actually help fix the injustice as much as it's probably going to cause a riot or more problems.
I agree. I've attended a lot of pro-life rallies, and one of the differences I have noticed is that with these protests against President Trump, these protests against ICE enforcing the law, there is a lot of anger and a lot of vitriol and a lot of bitterness. When you turn around and you go to these marches for life, you're seeing a lot of joy, a lot of hope, a lot of healing, a lot of community, instead of being against something, you are pushing for something.
That does make a huge difference. That really does. It's easier to burn things than it is to build them back up.
So true. So at the end of this, wrapping this episode up, I want to go through the questions that Got Questions has recommended for Christians to ask themselves before joining this joining a protest. So the first one is this a worthy cause? Number two, would Jesus support the convictions behind this cause? Will my participation violate any legitimate laws? Do I know the real motives behind this protest, and can I support them? What message will my involvement send to people outside this protest? Am I being used as a pawn in a hidden agenda I would not otherwise support? Is this protest being used as an excuse for violence, destruction, or other forms of evil? Is this protest the best way to further the message I want to proclaim? And what do I expect to be the result of this protest? And how will I treat those who do not join me in this protest? This reminds me a lot about, remember the ice bucket challenge that was going around?
Yes.
That so many people were just joining in because, oh, it's for mental health. But digging back into it, you're finding that you're supporting banning conversion therapy, supporting DEI initiatives.
Transgenderism. I think there was something in there.
A lot of destructive policies you're raising money for by just doing the ice bucket challenge. It's very, very important for Christians, especially, to investigate before we influence. And
100%. So much of it is emotion run wild. And as Christians, we're supposed to have self-control. We're supposed to be discerning. We're supposed to care about justice because God is a God of justice. But justice is as God has said it. So we need to be evaluating our motives and our decisions and our view of justice based off of scripture and God's word.
1 Timothy 2:1-3 also says to remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, just like what we were talking about.
The main point of all of this is the gospel, because Amen. As Christians, that is our highest focus on this earth, is to glorify God and to share his name with others. And so we can join protests. And sometimes it's a good thing to join protests. I
Absolutely.
Know.
So much history and change has happened because of that. The American Revolution happened because of that.
But it is important to think, how is this going to affect my witness?
Amen. I think that's a great way to end.
I think so too. So without further ado, let us firmly rely on the protection of divine providence.
Thank you for listening.
This is Self-Evident.